What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tonight, in Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Ohio State Buckeyes against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. The national championship at stake. It's a biggie. And we thought, who could we talk to who would have a great perspective on this for us? And we thought of a guy from Northeast Ohio who played for the Browns, who played for the Fighting Irish under two great coaches, Jerry Faust, and then the guy who's getting under Ryan Day's skin by the minute, Lou Holtz. We go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Mr. Frank Stams joins us. Hello, Frank.
How are you, Frank?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on. You've got boots on the ground here in Atlanta.
And that's we're pumped about that. First of all, other than just watching the game, what are you doing in Atlanta?
Well, I'm staying. Well, I thought, what better reason to get the band back together, the 88 team, the last national championship team at Notre Dame, than to come down here for the championship game. Now I'm actually staying with a teammate of mine, one of the three linebackers that I played with, Wes Pritchett, staying here. And I picked my son up along the way, Mason.
Nice.
He's in Ohio State. He's a fifth year at Ohio State. So what better reason to get down to get the band back together than with the national championship?
All right, so wait a minute. You went to Notre Dame. Your son's at Ohio State.
Right.
Are you sitting together tonight?
Absolutely. It's a win-win for the Stams household.
It's funny you mentioned the 88 team, Frank, because on my screen here in the studio right now, it's College Football Reference, 1988 Notre Dame Fighting Irish roster. You guys went 12-0.
How about that?
You won a bowl championship. Do you wish you'd had a chance to do it on the field? Do you like the new system? Do you like the new playoff, the expanded? What do you think?
Absolutely not. I don't. I mean, I would have not liked to have done that. That's my opinion. Way too many games to prove yourself. All we had to do was, I mean, back then, that was the playoff was the season. And, you're the last guy standing, really, in our case, it was. We were 12-0. We had played some tough games that year. We opened up with Michigan, and that was a real squeaker, and we came out ahead. And then we played mid-year. We played number one Miami, Jimmy Johnson's team, and we win that game. And at the end of the year, we played number two Southern Cal, and we win that. And Miami wanted a rematch. And Lou Holtz was smart enough to know that we've got nothing to gain by beating them a second time. So we took really what I, you know, what at the time, number four, West Virginia, and played them. So that was our playoff. But today's system, I think it's a wonderful system, and it's wonderful for college football. But I would have not liked to have played five more additional games to get to the championship.
And that's a lot of games for a college kid.
That is, man.
Right.
You're supposed to go to class too, Frank, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. They might want to rethink that whole student athlete thing.
Especially the Notre Dame side of it, Frank. We're going to class here, and we're living in dorms and doing that whole thing. The defense of Notre Dame has been outstanding all season long. What do you think of how Al Golden has got this defense playing?
Well, I think Al Golden is doing a great job. Wonderful. I think the chemistry, I mean, there's a lot of guys that know X's and O's and defenses and offenses, but it's, you know, it's all about leadership and how he's leading that defense and how he, those guys believe in him. And also the recruiting of Marcus Freeman. They've got talent now that at Ohio State in the past decade or so. You know, I really didn't see them keeping pace with the Ohio States and the Clemsons and the Georgias. You know, they just didn't really have the overall team speed. But they have that now. And then they also have depth as well on that defense and offense, especially at that defensive line, which they sorely need because of all the injuries they've had this year. So I think Al Golden has done a great job of getting those guys aggressive, playing hard, playing to the whistle. And, yeah, I'm really impressed with that defense.
Frank Stamm's joining us, former Rams Browns linebacker, former running back and linebacker for the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. People forget that running back stuff, not me.
Yeah,
Frank.
How about that?
You were tough. You were tough. The thing I think is kind of interesting about the playoff in this situation, Frank, and again, I like the playoff, but I didn't have to. Obviously, you would have had to have played in it as a college kid, you know, playing football. But I think it's interesting that Notre Dame loses to Northern Illinois in week two, but it doesn't derail their season. I like that. Ohio State loses to Oregon, number one team in the country. It didn't derail their season. Lost to Michigan, big rival, didn't derail their season. From that standpoint, I do like it because, man, it's difficult to do what you guys did in '88 and run the table.
Yeah, no, it is difficult. But, you know, in the new system, there's going to be a place for the people that the teams that run the table, the 12-0s and the 11-0s. And then there's going to be a place for those that have a Northern Illinois game, the second game of the season, to also participate in the playoffs. So, you know, expanding it to 12 teams, it really, you know, captures a lot of teams. I mean, you know, in the past, we've all, you know, the argument has always been made whether who should be in the national championship game. Even with the 14 playoff, there's a lot of teams that probably should have been in the playoff that just got squeezed out. But with 12 teams, you really capture a lot of teams. And then, you know, it's been a wonderful playoff to this point. And you've got the seed seven and eight going into it. I thought it was really, really interesting that all the teams that received a bye, they were knocked out early. So, yeah, I think it's been a great playoff. And you couldn't ask for the first playoff of the, in my humble opinion, for the first college football playoff national championship, you couldn't ask for two better teams.
Would you make this thing any bigger, Frank, or are you happy at 12 teams? Because they've been kicking around 16, and, you know, there's so much money out there, man. Like, I kind of understand why they're doing it, but at the same, like, thought, I'm like, 12 feels right.
Yeah. No, I think 12 is the perfect number. What I think they're going to take a hard look at is the conference championships and whether they're necessary or not. Because I just think it's way too many games for the college kids to be playing. But, you know, who am I? But I think they've got it right at 12 teams. And, you know, I wouldn't want to see them expanding that further.
Frank Stamms is joining us, former Browns linebacker, played for the Irish in high school, played for the Irish in college. How does Ohio State win this game, Frank? How does Notre Dame win this game tonight?
Interesting. Great question, Jeff. You know, Notre Dame's got to establish the run, and that's going to be a challenge, a big challenge, because, you know, they just can't be one-dimensional. Notre Dame's got to have the explosive plays, whether it comes offensively or on special teams, and they've done that to this point. You know, at Georgia, they had the big kickoff return you know, the long run. They've got to have explosive plays on the ground and in the air and on special teams. So that's going to be key. And then defensively for the Irish, you know, they've got to pressure Howard and, you know, make him make mistakes, because it's going to be a game of mistakes. Those that make the fewest are going to win this game. For Ohio State, you know, they're going to want to establish the run. I think both these coaches are disciples of the old school, going all the way back to Paul Brown. And then Jim, certainly Freeman is a disciple of Tressel. You know, I think Day is as well. And that philosophy was, is, you know, just keep it vanilla and take advantage of the mistakes. Ohio State's going to pound that ball. They should anyways. And then that's going to open up that passing game. Notre Dame's in a real bind because, you know, it's going to be hard for them to go man-to-man. You know, they've got a quality secondary, but I think that receiving core for Ohio State is top-notch. And, you know, and then it's going to be hard to double, I think it's Smith as the receiver. If you double Smith, then you're going to have a mismatch somewhere else. So it's a paramount for both teams to establish the run. That'll get the passing game going. And then also that front seven by both teams stopping the run and, more importantly, pressuring the quarterback when they pass, because those guys handling the ball a ton, you know, they will make mistakes under duress. And we saw that last week with Notre Dame against Penn State. You know, the late interception cost Penn State the game. So that's what that defensive front has got to do. They've got to pressure the quarterback, make the teams respectively make mistakes and bad decisions.
Frank Stamm's joining us, former Browns.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Linebacker, former Rams linebacker, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, running back and linebacker on top of that one, joining us on the Thompson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram
Hotline. Dude rocked it for St. V carrying that football.
You know, Jeff, for some reason I thought I was going to be the next Larry Zonka, and that really got turned around at Notre Dame fast.
You were on your way, though, Frank.
Yeah, I had a start, right?
I'm not going to lie. I'm just here copying Jeff's paper on a chunk of these things.
Frank was a hell of a running back in high school, man.
I believe it thoroughly.
I'm just telling you, that dude was good.
All right. How much has Marcus Freeman meant to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish?
You know, he's meant a lot. I was just watching a clip the other day and give a lot of credit to the athletic director, Pete Bevacqua, for recognizing that talent and then extending his contract. I think it was about a month or so ago, but Marcus has done a great job taking, you know, his first head coaching football job at Notre Dame. Wow. I mean, man, you talk about a learning curve.
Yeah, that's serious.
And admittedly, he's on a learning curve, but man, he's learning fast. And he surrounded himself with two great coordinators. You mentioned Golden, Denbrock on the offensive side. And most importantly is he's got those kids playing at a high level. They like him. Which is the new age, because I don't know if I ever liked a head coach. I certainly respected him, played for him, but liking him was a different story. I say that with all the term of endearment in the world, but they like him. I was watching this clip of when he took over the job, and they introduced him in the locker room with the team, and man, the team just rallied behind him. They love him. They love playing for him. And I think this really is the beginning of a wonderful relationship with Marcus Freeman and, you know, and really for decades to come for Notre Dame being back, you know, in that perennial discussion of national championships.
Frank, great to have you with us. Enjoy the game tonight. Enjoy sitting with your Ohio State soon-to-be graduate son. That'll be fun for the Stamps household tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Enjoy. The trash talking will be outstanding.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
Frank Stamps
joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. 12 wins, no losses under head coach Lou Holtz. 1988 on a team that was absolutely stacked, and Frank's at the game. And great to have him with us and giving us some really good perspective. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy's Dan Manigan. Some thoughts on tonight's game, how the Buckeyes can win it, how they can lose it, coming up.
92 The Fan looking for a winner. Enter the code word STICK, S-T-I-C-K, STICK, at 92.3thefan.com by 2 p.m. for your chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see the Cleveland Monsters take on the Providence Bruins on January 31st at 7 p.m. at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. Get tickets at clevelandmonsters.com. Again, that code word, STICK. And it's all from Cleveland Monsters, from the Cleveland Monsters, I should say, and Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
That's Dan Manigan. He's not only is he in for Andy today, he doesn't have to do his normal gig.
I know!
Because Kayla's here doing Dan's normal gig. And then Anthony's sitting behind the glass wearing his Central Michigan Chippewa sweatshirt that I'm envious of. I like that one. It's very nice.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I know. Menigan's actually like standing over there and working. You know, you can sit. You don't have to stand and run the board all day.
So I'm used to standing because at my college radio station, the chair was always broken.
Dan, you haven't been in college for a very long time.
But I got into that habit of always standing because you would have all these metalheads who would come in before and would just wreck everything because they'd get way too into it and they would always end up breaking the chair. And so I would end up coming in the next day and you would just see this chair in 2 to 7 pieces. And so I was like, well, forget it. We're standing today. And I just got used to it.
You mean kind of like our chairs?
Yeah, but less of a, you know, I listened to
less
Iron Maiden too loud.
Force.
And, yeah, okay. less Iron Maiden bound.
No wonder Cleveland State's tuition was so expensive.
A lot of chairs.
They had to keep buying those chairs.
Keep fixing them along the way. So, yeah, I kind of just got used to standing because the chair was always busted.
So I agree with Frank. I think this is too many games for a college kid to play. That said, it's the system that's now in place. It's weird because I think it's too many games for the team that ultimately gets that far. But they're getting paid a lot of money now. Mm-hmm. It's a different world. It's not just a scholarship. Now it's above board money and everything else. And this is now kind of part of the biz, and it is a biz. So I kind of get it. So I like that aspect of this. I like this aspect of it, too. In the NFL, okay, you're going to lose a game or two. I mean, you just are, right? That's the way it works in the NFL. But you still have a chance to win the whole thing. And I think college football, especially with NIL, making it much more competitive all the way around, Dan, because, you know, you're Indiana. Go out and buy yourself a team.
They did.
Mm-hmm. They did.
Absolutely.
And now Indiana has a football program. Well, that's okay. That means what? It means you're going to lose some games because you're playing teams that are also paying players. And in theory, teams will be much more competitive. And the talent should be dispersed a little more evenly because not everybody's going to be paying the quarterback, you know, $1 million a year. Or three quarterbacks $1 million a year. You might buy one quarterback, and that leaves another quarterback looking for money, so he's going to go to Indiana. And all of a sudden, it's a different world. So from that standpoint, I like it. I like the fact that Ohio State lost a couple of games, yet can still get there because they're a good team, but they did stub their toe. And, I mean, Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois,
yep.
For God's sake.
And it was an embarrassing loss,
It was
too.
A bad loss. I remember where I was watching it. It was up on the television in a restaurant I was sitting in. And I thought, are you kidding me? Look at the Huskies go.
No kidding.
I know. It was impressive. So from that aspect, I like it. The mythical, you know, we ran the table and were undefeated. That was cool, but it was kind of mythical.
But we always found ourselves having the same conversation with those, which was we would all look at each other and go, oh, what would happen if 1 and 2 actually played?
Yeah.
And now we're in a position where 1 and 2 could actually play each other. And
that's, or 7 and 8.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What would happen if these teams actually played each other instead of us going, okay, the Big Ten champ and the Pac-10 or Pac-12 champ would go to the Rose Bowl and then we would have the SEC champion and they would do it that way. And now you actually get to see these teams go against each other. And I know it is very, very easy to listen to coaches complain. And a lot of people put a lot of stock in coaches complaining. And this is one of those times in life where the right people are complaining, which means you're doing it correctly. Because if the guy who's in charge is yelling about the lack of power that he has, it means the power is being dispersed correctly. And this is one of those fine moments. As you hear college coaches go, oh, I hate the transfer portal. This thing's stupid. They could just pick up and leave. There's no commitment. All they want to talk about is money. All they want to do is this. No. This is what you want, because this means you can no longer sit down in somebody's living room and look a kid dead in the eye and say to him, oh, yeah, you're going to have every opportunity to compete here. Yeah, Joe Burrow, come to Ohio State. We want you to be a part of our team. Oh, look, we'll start JT Barrett. Why? Because he's the older person. What did Joe Burrow do? You're not going to play me? I'm going to go somewhere that will. I'm going to LSU.
It took him a while to come to that conclusion, though.
Exactly. And so now you're seeing it all
Ohio
over the place.
Ohio State, in theory, took Joe Burrow because you can't let the best quarterback high school prospect in the state of Ohio walk outside the
door. You can't let him walk out the door.
Yeah.
But now you have to play.
You have to let him compete, and if he's the better guy, you got to play him.
Exactly.
I mean, it worked for Urban Meyer with JT Barrett and then with Dwayne Haskins. I get it. But, I mean, it's real clear who the better quarterback was, right?
But that's
it
just, why.
But it fit urban system and everything else.
And that's why college football is in a better place now than where it was even 5 years ago.
I think it is. And that puts Ohio State in the championship game tonight against Notre Dame. I thought that the team that had the best shot to get there out of the Notre Dame bracket was Penn State. You know, they opened with LSU and then Boise, who, okay, it though Boise had a great season, I thought, okay, it's Boise State, and they might be the team that's in there because, you know, they had to be. But then they lost to Notre Dame. Notre Dame had some good wins. Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
And Georgia.
And Georgia's legit, too.
They had the Georgia win and then Penn State. Ohio State, I think, had a tough way to get there because they had to play a good Tennessee team, took care of them without any issues, jumped all over number one Oregon, which was stunning. And then a very contested game against Texas. And I think a Texas game might actually be good for Ohio State going into this one. I think Ohio State wins this game, Dan, if they can kind of channel what they did against Oregon, which is, here we go. We are not going to lose this game. We're not leaving anything in the bag. Here it goes. We're going for it, as opposed to what they did against Michigan. And if Will Howard plays well, I know that sounds silly. You know, if the quarterback plays well, you have a chance to win. I really do think so. He's got to get his wide receivers involved. They can't let Jeremiah Smith get taken out of the game, as he was really against Texas. Somehow figure out how to get him going. And then I agree with Frank, get that running game going. You've got two terrific running backs, get them going, and go from there.
This sounds very coachy, and I don't mean it to come off that way, but it's kind of the truth when it comes to Ohio State. They've ran into a couple occasions where they lose their identity. They kind of lose who they are. And they get into these moments where they're, you know, the old Jim Harbaugh phrase, I'm going to block and tackle you to hell. And Ohio State gets in that mindset of, oh, well, we got to also block and tackle you to hell. And it's like, no, that's not what you do. That's not who you are. You are a high-flying offense. You are an offense that is to push the ball down the field. You are an offense that gets Emeka Buka in space, that gets Jeremiah Smith in space. You are an offense that uses the pass game to then turn around and set up a really good run game. That's how you've operated all season long. And every so often, the Notre Dame game, a little bit against Texas, they like lose that identity for a little bit. Where it's like, oh, no, now we have to block and tackle you to hell. It's like, no, you don't. You are high-flying, be high-flying. Go take those shots downfield. That's why you brought Will Howard in here. Is he more mobile than you think? Yeah, a little bit, but it doesn't mean that you should run, you know, constantly do options all over the place between him and Junkins or him and Travion Henderson. Like, be you. Know what you do best and do it. That's how Ohio State wins this game. Is by knowing what they do best and then doing it instead of thinking they have to evolve to the opponent that's in front of them.
Makes sense.
Yeah. It's what I've seen all year with Ohio State. They just like occasionally will lose their identity and they'll think that they got to do something different. And it's like, no, just be you. Go be you. Go drive the Porsche. You don't need to take the Porsche off-roading. Keep the Porsche on the Autobahn and fly. Like, just go do what you do best.
Although some Porsches now, you could probably go.
That is very true.
With, you know.
And on the defensive side, I'm still convinced that there's three Caleb Downs on the field at all times because that dude is just perpetually around the ball. I swear that they've cloned that guy. He is on a different planet at safety. He's insane how good that dude is. And the defense itself has been really good ever since the little hiccup early on against Oregon, and even that was questionable. But since then, boy, they have tightened the screws on the defensive side of the ball.
Notre Dame's defense is really good with, you know, Ohio State's Marcus Freeman running the show, which is interesting. Also former Kent State assistant coach.
I didn't know that.
Marcus
That's awesome.
Freeman. Yeah, he was at Kent for a couple of years and then Cincinnati for more than a few. This will sound too coachy too, but look what happened in the NFL games over the weekend. And I think it was one of the post-game shows I was watching yesterday, and they said, look at the disparity here. The teams that won with the number of turnovers they had and the teams that lost, the turnovers, it was like astronomically different. I think the winners had like 3 turnovers combined, and the losers had 20, something like that. It was really out of whack. If Notre Dame can get Ohio State to turn the ball over, I think that's how Notre Dame wins the game. It has to be, I think, by Ohio State stubbing its toe offensively and by turning the ball over. And Notre Dame has the type of defense that can make you turn the ball over.
Absolutely.
And that's, I think that's going to be the key for the Irish. If they can get the football from Ohio State, I think they have a chance to win the game. I don't, could be wrong, I don't see Notre Dame's offense being the force in this game. if the Irish are going to win, it's going to be because of their defense. And I think if Ohio State wins, it's going to be because they played the game they were supposed to play.
Well, the only way I would push back on that a little bit would be Riley Leonard and just the fact that he's so good running the ball for them. And not as much throwing, you know, as you would want him to be. But boy, that dual threat running style, that could be something too. But I'm with you. I think Ohio State wins this game. I think it'll be close, though. I have a feeling it's going to be like a 3-point victory, a 7-point victory, something like that.
You think it'll be a good game?
I think it's going to be a very good game.
Lance Reisland has done a great job breaking stuff down for Cleveland.com. And Lance is a local teacher, local football coach, former Kent State quarterback, actually. And I had the chance to work with Lance on a couple of high school games. Man really knows his football. He's going to join us at 1 o'clock, so about 24 minutes away. He's going to break it down for us and tell us how Ohio State wins, how Notre Dame wins this game. And I'm anxious to talk to Lance about that. It's Baskin and Phelps with Menigan here on The Fan. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Menigan's in for Baskin today. He has me standing up now. Kayla's running our board.
It's good for you. Get some blood flowing.
Absolutely.
You kind of move a little bit.
I stand up a good portion of
it. We could get some squats going on top of it, sure, if you want.
Hey, by the way, now in the swearing in of our next president, Carrie Underwood is singing, and I keep waiting to see like the Kansas City Chiefs come storming through or something. You know, we're all just here for Inauguration Day. Here come the Chiefs. Here come the Texans. You know, whoever. No, do I have things mixed up with Carrie Underwood? I think I do.
Oh no, I could see it. I just, anything that I'm going to put on top of this is going to get me pulled into a meeting. So I'm going to sit here quietly like a good boy.
There's Kamala behind her. Here come the 49ers.
I'm going to treat this the same exact way that I do when I go into like anywhere that's nice, and I can hear my mom in my head going, "You will touch nothing. You will behave yourself. You will not sit on the floor." That's what I am. I'm just going to behave.
It'll
be a good boy.
We're going to get some serious breakdowns. Lance Reisland writes for Cleveland.com when he's not teaching or coaching football, and does some football breakdown stuff. As I teased him one time, I said, "You keep doing this, somebody's going to hire you out of the classroom," because he does a really good job. He's going to give us his thoughts on who wins and why tonight, Ohio State, Notre Dame. He also broke down Tommy Rees when he was the OC at Alabama and what he sees that meaning for the Cleveland Browns. So we're going to get some thoughts on that. Al Golden's name came up earlier with,
yes,
Frank Stamps. Al's the defensive coordinator of the Fighting Irish. And Al's the former head coach at Miami, but before that, he was the head coach at Temple. And here's a fun little fact for you. You know how sometimes somebody does something that's nice and then you forever like the guy?
Of course.
That's Al Golden with me.
Oh, that's cool.
Mid-American Conference Media Day. I'm doing some Mid-American Conference football preview show. And he was just taking over at Temple. So sat down, talked to Al Golden, who, by the way, back in the day, quite resembled my friend Brian Duffy, who works over at Channel 19, who I worked back then. And so it's like, hey, you look like Duff. Anyhow, I do this interview with Al Golden, you know, talking about Temple and everything else. About a week and a half later, I get a thank you note.
What?
From Al Golden.
Seriously?
Yes. Handwritten.
Handwritten. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Jeff, great talking to you at Mac Media Day. You know, blah, blah, blah,
wow,
blah, 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 blah. Al Golden. And I thought, this dude's selling it, baby.
Wow.
It was very nice of him.
Oh.
That was dope. It really was.
That doesn't happen to anybody who is out there, like, who doesn't know these things. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen when you talk to high school coaches, let alone college coaches.
Exactly,
like,
right.
That stuff doesn't happen. That's unbelievable that he would take the time to handwrite you a note and send it. That's awesome.
That's what I thought.
Wow.
So, obviously, I've rooted for the guy ever since.
Heck yeah, as you should. I mean,
so along with being nice, mission accomplished by Al.
Right.
For whatever that was worth.
At some point it got him to Notre Dame. Who knows? Maybe he talked to Frank Stamps, who then you came up and all that, you know, it all comes together.
I don't think that was the case.
Nah, I think so.
I don't believe
we'll
so.
We'll run with that.
I don't believe so.
Yeah, you know. You're an integral part. They'll send you a t-shirt.
By the way, when Frank played at Notre Dame, he was recruited by Jerry Faust, Jerry just passed away. One of the nicest gentlemen I've ever dealt with in sports. Just a true gentleman. And then when he was let go by Notre Dame. He came to Akron. And then Lou Holtz took over at Notre Dame, and Frank played for Lou his last several years. What's with Lou going nuts on Ryan Day? Getting under his skin, ruffling his feathers.
I don't know. He's 88. He got to have a hobby. Probably that's what it is.
Gotta have a hobby.
It's good to have a hobby. His grandkid probably taught him how to record stuff on his phone. You know, it passed the time. You tick some people off. It helps. Sometimes you got to put the youth in their place.
I don't put any, it's like, okay, great. Lou's talking. And if it's bugging Ryan Day, fine, whatever. But I find it very interesting. And not in a bad way. No. I'm just like,
It's just so funny. It's like, here's an 88-year-old man who is getting under the skin of one of the highest paid college coaches with one of the best teams in the country. And yet this 88-year-old man in a room filled with mahogany and leather-bound books.
Kent State graduate, Lou Holtz.
Is sitting there yelling into his computer or into his phone or whatever else, and probably asking his grandson to hit post. And like everything in there just to tick this guy off. Like it has the full feeling of like, I would love to help you, but I have to take all of these leaves and put them in my neighbor's yard. Like that's exactly what this feels like. Hold on, I have to go knock over my neighbor's trash can so he has to pick them up in the morning. Like it's just what it feels like. It's like, okay, fine. Lou, go for it. Have fun. Life is short. Enjoy it. But if I'm Ryan Day, I'm looking at this going like, am I really going to lose my mind over what some 88-year-old guy is saying?
Yeah, that's where you almost need to say, nothing but respect for Coach Holtz.
Right. Love is two cents. Did a great job with Notre Dame all those years. But frankly, his opinions of my team, he can go kick rocks.
That's exactly right. Lou's a Kent State grad. Did not play football at Kent State. Nick Saban's a Kent State grad. Did play football at Kent State. Kent State, cradle of coaches. Marcus Freeman.
Really is. I never realized that all those Kent State connections in between there. That's really cool. This really is a football hotbed. I mean, I know everybody who's listening knows that, but like every so often you hear these stories and you get these moments where you're like, holy mackerel, this is a hotbed. So much great thought that's coming out of here, and even progressive thought too, when it comes to the game of football and how everything's moving forward.
University of Akron has had some guys. Like Luke Getsy was a quarterback at Akron, just got let go a couple of times now as an offensive coordinator in the NFL.
Right. He might even be an OC, or if anything, he might be back with one of the Shanahan guys under them. You know, whether it's LaFleur, whether it's McVay, whether it's Kyle Shanahan himself.
One of the Shanahan guys. Is that where it is now?
What? The whole coaching tree thing has always kind of been
the whole coaching tree thing bothers me, but that's okay.
Yeah, the Kyle Shanahan coaching tree.
I have a big problem with language and the way it's, different things we say about things. Drives me nuts. Tree. A coaching tree.
Exactly. Just hopefully you have a tree at some point in your life and it doesn't just fork at some. You just get nothing.
That would be bad. It would be really bad.
The Menigan coaching tree is just Charlie Brown's tree. Every time you touch it, a branch falls off.
That's not nice. Cavaliers are playing the Phoenix Suns today. What do you think of that? This is one of those games to me. It's like, okay, Cavs are playing a team that's kind of struggled a little bit, but this is the type of game where I wonder, as you move forward here, are these the games that kind of jump up and bite you a little bit? Because as the season progresses, the Cavs have had such a great start. And I wonder if some of these teams that are trying to find themselves, like Phoenix, right now they're a game over 500. But, they have Kevin Durant. They have Devin Booker. I mean, they've got players, right? These are the types of games, I think, that are going to become more of a challenge for the Cavs and other top teams, as the season goes on, because some of these teams have taken a little while to find their stride. And I wonder if Phoenix is going to be one of those teams.
Yeah, and especially the fact that they can't keep Bradley Beal on the floor for longer than like three games at a time.
It's because they're open to trade him.
Well, and he's
waive his no trade clause.
Oh, and he's oft injured on top of it, which is always, your best ability. The best ability is availability, and Bradley Beal hasn't been available for a while in his career, which is a bummer in itself because he was really fun to watch when he's with the Wizards. But Kevin Durant continues to get older. He continues to involve his game and get a little bit better.
you know, and especially coming off the Achilles and all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of maintained this level of scoring that's there. It just, this feels like this Phoenix Suns team, and you'll remember this very well. Remember that Rockets team that was like Hakeem Olajuwon, and then here comes Charles Barkley, and you know, it was basically like the let's get all the old guys together. I think Scottie Pippen was on that team for a cup of coffee. Yeah. And it was like, let's get all the older guys together and build this quote-unquote super team.
You mean like the Cavaliers tried to do when they brought in Dwayne Wade and Derrick Rose?
Exactly. Yeah. That's what this Phoenix Suns team feels like to me. And now they're sniffing around Jimmy Butler as well. It's like, okay, so we're just going to keep bringing in older dudes and hope we can squeeze a little bit more out of these guys. I just don't see where this makes sense. It feels like Matt Ishbia, like spent himself into a hole, who is the owner of the Phoenix Suns, by the way, and Dan Gilbert's sworn mortal enemy. And
so we hear.
And so he's like spent himself into a hole and is now trying to like spend himself out of said hole. And I don't know where this team and the direction of it goes, because it feels like everybody they pay is like 32.
If anybody's going to get this right or be real close, it's going to be you. How old is Kevin Durant?
37.
He's 36. And I knew you would get it because you're into such things. Durant, to me, forever seems young because he was not LeBron. He came in after LeBron, you know, after doing the 1 year at Texas. And it just always seemed to me, you know, okay, yeah, he's the young guy. He's the young upstart. Mm-hmm. But LeBron's still going, and he's 40.
Right.
You know, and Durant, though younger than LeBron, is now 36 years old.
Yeah. Isn't that nuts? The funny thing is, I feel like Kevin Durant's legacy is going to forever be like the basketball nerd's favorite player.
Yeah.
Except for the fact that you're going to have to like also tell people, like, don't pay attention to anything he did on social media throughout his entire career. Just watch what he did on the floor. Like, it's almost like, you know, I always tell people the greatest player I've ever seen play was A-Rod. But like saying that out loud gets people really angry because of all the baggage that comes with Alex Rodriguez, like, or Aaron Rodgers, if you prefer the other A-Rod, like all the baggage that has found its way with those guys. I feel like Kevin Durant is another one of those, where it's all the baggage that comes with him that you forget that the guy was just money.
Oh yeah. He's very good. Lenny's in Amherst. Hi, Lenny.
How are you, Lenny?
Hi guys. Hey, it was so funny to hear you say that because I was up in Canada fishing with about 18 plumbers at this half-deserted airport in Timmins. And who comes walking up when we're getting ready to get on the plane is Mike Fratello.
Hey.
Oh!
So he's talking to us for 10 or 15 minutes, and, you know, we're all, boy, nice to meet you, now, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we all went home, and about a week and a half later, I got a thank you note from him.
Nice.
And he says, boy, it was nice talking to you guys. If I ever need a plumber, I'll call you.
That's my partner from Basketball Gold, you know.
I know. Hey, last but not least, Jeff, number 2 draft pick, Abdul Carter. Get another guy in the 3rd or 4th round to train.
Lenny, I don't mind that idea at all.
I don't mind that at all.
Lenny, thank you. Doesn't surprise me that Coach Fratello sent Lenny and his buddies a thank you note either.
He's the nicest guy. Coach Fratello is as nice as you want him to be.
I couldn't agree with you more.
He's the nicest guy.
Yep. I enjoy him very much. Lance Reisland is going to break down Ohio State, Michigan for us. He's also going to tell us what we might be able to expect from Tommy Rees based on what he did at Alabama. A man for all football activities. Lance Reisland coming up next here on Baskin and Phelps.